Verse 22, "For this reason I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you. Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey, and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it pleased those from Macedonia and from Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service to Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy and by the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." The church at Rome was one that was growing and was actually a loving church. And when Paul wrote to them last week, we discovered that they were mature and they had learned a lot of the things already. In fact, he said, "I'm sort of repeating some of these things to you. Although you know them, I'm persuaded that you are already growing and that you abound in love," and so forth. He complimented them. And at the beginning of the book, he complimented them. It's real interesting to look at things not only from a biblical perspective, but from those who didn't know the Lord. And I have a quote from one of the people, one of the actually rulers in the Roman army, who watched the Roman Christians. Now, this is Paul's letters to the Romans. But who watched and observed the Roman Christians and wrote a letter to the Emperor Hadrian in Rome concerning the Roman church. Listen to what he says. He says, "They love one another. They never fail to help the widows. They save orphans from those who would hurt them. And if they have something, they give freely to the man who has nothing. If they see a stranger, they take him home and are happy as though they were a real brother. They don't consider themselves brothers in the usual sense, but brothers instead through the Spirit in God." Now this was from a non-Christian observing the Christians writing to the emperor. What a witness. So this church was growing. And although Paul the apostle hadn't visited them, he was adding to their faith by writing the epistle to the Romans. You know, Paul was an intense fellow. He was intense in his activities. Between his busy traveling schedule and between his establishing churches and between his getting beat up in every city, he always had time to pray and to write avidly to those who were in other parts of the world, really making sure of their spiritual welfare. He really cared for these people. And he says here in verse 22 and 23, he hadn't come yet, but he was longing to see them. He couldn't wait to see their face. Rome was the capital of the world. And he had an intense desire to go there and to minister. You know, Paul the apostle was a radical kind of a Christian. No matter what he was into, he went all the way, went 100%. When he was a heathen, he was a good one. I mean, he was a heathen. And if I was going to be a heathen, I'd be a full-on heathen. And if you're going to be a Christian 100%. That was Paul's thinking. And when he followed the Lord, he followed him for keeps, and he went just 100%. In going after the Lord. And it's beautiful to see this kind of activity. Constantly trying to go to places and establish churches. Raise them up. Raise up leadership and so forth. And he says that he was longing to see them. Verse 22, he says, "For this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you." For what reason? Well, in verse 19 and 20, he tells us. He says, "In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all around about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Paul's method was to go into an area and to evangelize. He would just go hit the streets and he'd hit the synagogues and he'd evangelize and share the gospel. And the people that responded, he would begin to teach them, feed them the word of God. He would take them and just systematically let them feed upon the scriptures. And then, as the church was growing, he would raise up other leadership, establish them, sort of let them take over, and he would move on and do it again. Go to new areas. Start up a new church, evangelize. Raise up elders and move on. He did that several places. And because of this busy schedule, he was hindered. He was hindered because he was so busy from Jerusalem to Illyricum, or Illyricum. I always get that word messed up. Probably because this is the only place it's ever used. But he went to this place in the by the Adriatic Sea and was preaching the gospel so busy that he couldn't make it to Rome. Busy doing the Lord's work. When I was in India, we saw people with the same vision that Paul the Apostle had. We got to go to these islands, the islands off the southern coast of India. And they warned us, they said, now Skip, these people have never once heard the name of Jesus Christ before. You're not preaching to people who were raised in a church kind of a country like the States. These are people who don't know what a Jesus even is. And you're going to share with them from the ground up. And as we would share the gospel and pass out tracts, we would leave one of the native Indian brothers there on the island. And the people that responded to the gospel, he would stay there and teach and raise up a church. Now, hundreds of people in this last year have come to know the Lord, just on one of the islands we went to. And they're spreading out to all of the islands, building upon new foundation. Really, where no one has ever preached the gospel before. Going into remote areas. Now, we're going to be able to go to the Philippines in May. And we're in contact with one guy who established, who started 60 churches. Now, I started one, I think, 60. He started 60 churches, and he's raised up pastors for them, and they need to be taught how to teach. But much the same vision as Paul the Apostle, to go into new areas, to see it raised up, and to then pass on the leadership and to go on. That was Paul's method, going into new territory. Now, he was hindered because of his busy schedule. There were times where Paul the Apostle was hindered for other reasons. Sometimes he said, Satan has hindered us from going into this territory. The work of satanic oppression was upon them. At other times, Paul was physically sick. He fell down and got sick while doing God's work. Hindered him from going into an area. He speaks about it in the book of Galatians. At other times, it says, the Holy Spirit forbade us. But you know, whatever the reason that Paul was delayed, he had a really keen attitude. For in Philippians, when he was in jail, chained, writing to the Philippians as he was in the Roman jail, he says, now I'm here in chains and imprisonment and bondage, but I want you to know that everything that's happened to me has happened for the furtherance of the gospel. It's happened because God wants to get the gospel out and be glorified through me, so he would flow with whatever. What a beautiful kind of an outlook to have on life. You know, instead of getting upset and go, gosh, it didn't work out the way I wanted it to. Getting all bummed out and upset, he just, it's for the furtherance of the gospel. He's pulling the strings. I'll trust him for the results. Here I am in a Roman prison rotting to death, and it's all to the glory of God so that the gospel could be preached. You think, how could he preach the gospel in jail? Well, he would preach to the guards who would come in. He was chained up in the praetorium down in Rome, and the guards would come in and he'd share the gospel with them, and Paul said that there was a revival even going around among Caesar's household. And Rome was being evangelized while Paul was in prison. And whatever happened to him, he'd just flow with it. If he was hindered because of the Holy Spirit, he'd flow with it. If he was hindered because of anything, he just said, it's a chance for God to get the glory. Beautiful kind of a way to live. And he says in verse 23, but now, no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you. He says that he didn't have a place or an opportunity anymore where he was. The book of Acts records that Paul was so effective in getting the gospel out in the regions he went that every Jew and Gentile heard the gospel. He goes, well, here I am in this area and everyone's heard the gospel. That doesn't mean that he preached personally to all of them, but the gospel got out through he and his team. So every Jew and Gentile heard the gospel. And so the work was done in one area and he'd move to another area, sharing the gospel from place to place. And the opportunity where he was now had sort of faded away. And he was anxious to go on to Rome, where he had never really been, to preach the gospel. Now, I want you to note that not all of the people Paul shared with turned to the Lord. They might have heard the gospel, but not all of them responded to the gospel. That's important because God does not lay the results upon your shoulders for evangelism. That's nice to know. There are a lot of people who would make it sound like if people aren't saved, it's your fault. It's not your fault. You're not called to save anyone. Jesus never said to go out and save all of the world. He said go out and preach the gospel to the whole world. You share the truth. The rest, the results are up to God. I noticed the early church did that. They kept their priorities and God added to the church daily those that should be saved. And that's a safe place to be. Share the truth. Bear witness of the truth. If people turn it off, that's their own business between them and God. You have shared the gospel. You are responsible for getting out the whole gospel, the good news. The results are up to God. Not all of those people turned to Paul. In fact, many of them hated Paul, beat Paul, threw him out of their city. But he shared the good news. Now he's going into new territory. You know, Paul had a pioneer spirit. I think that this guy couldn't sit still for very long. I think he was the kind of guy who just got itchy after a while, and he was so effective in God's work. Now, there are people who are itchy, not because they're effective in God's work in new territory. They're just kind of bummed out with their life and want something new. It seems to be within every human being a desire to do something else. I've noticed in human beings, it just seems to be that there's built within us this unsatisfied kind of an attitude. It would only be better if I were somewhere else doing something else. If I could change jobs or do something different. But Paul's method was, I'm going to stay here and be committed to what God has called me to do until God is finished with me. And my ministry is completed. Until then, I'll stay. And when that time was up, he hit the road. And he shared the gospel in new areas. Now, he had a pioneer spirit, but he was also equipped for it. He was very equipped to go out. He was a Jew who knew all of the Jewish laws. He was a Pharisee, but also he was a Roman citizen. He pulled rank when he was taken into the Praetorium in Jerusalem. He said, you can't beat me, I'm a Roman. So he was a Roman citizen. He spoke Greek and knew Greek culture being born in Tarsus, but he was also a Jew who studied in Jerusalem. So he really had the world covered. He could really minister to anyone. And he could go almost into any territory and feel at home because of his background. And God had prepared him for that. Now, he says here that in verse 24, he says, and whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come and see you. For I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. In Ephesus, when he was there, according to the book of Acts, he said that he was going to go to Jerusalem, and then after Jerusalem that he was going to go to Rome. He always wanted to go to Rome. He expresses it here, I want to come and see you. But it's interesting the way that he got there. The way that he got to Rome was completely different than the way he wanted to go to Rome. He made plans to go to Rome. God changed his plans, took him to Rome anyway, but did it in a different way. Did Paul get to Rome on one of his missionary journeys? No. This is the way Paul got to Rome. He went to Jerusalem like he says that he's going to. When he got to Jerusalem, he went into the temple, took a vow and was worshiping where the Jews worship. The other Jews who saw Paul supposed that Paul had brought a Gentile into the holy place of the Jews. So they got all upset and they got into a big riot and a mob and they threw Paul out of the temple and started beating him up. While they were beating him up, the soldiers from the palace came and ran out and rescued Paul and took him inside. And they were all standing out saying, kill this guy. He's blasphemed the temple. So Paul turns to the guards and goes, hey, let me have a few words with these guys. They know me. Evidently, they do know you. Yeah, but just let me speak to them. They said, well, can you speak Greek? He says, well, I was born from Tarsus and so forth. So he goes out, and all of these Jewish people are out there, and he speaks in the Hebrew tongue. And Paul begins to give his testimony there in Acts. He's giving his testimony. He's telling how that he was a Jew and a Pharisee, and all of you know me, Paul said. You know my testimony among you. But I was going to Damascus to kill all of these Christians. And while I was on the way, and he describes his Damascus Road experience of conversion. And then he says, and then God spoke to me and told me that I was to go to the Gentiles. And they got so upset, they threw dust in the air, they started ripping their clothes, and they said, away with this fellow, he's not fit to live. Because he spoke in Hebrew, the guards didn't understand him. They brought him back in the palace and they said, what did you say? Beat this guy and find out what he said. And Paul says, is it lawful for you to beat a Roman citizen without a fair trial? They said, you're a Roman. And he said, yeah, and he showed him his rank and so forth. So they didn't beat him, but Paul stood before the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin, started giving his testimony. And Paul figured out that half of the crowd were Sadducees and half were Pharisees, and they didn't get along with each other. And because the Sadducees believed in a resurrection and the Pharisees didn't, Paul says, I'm standing before you today on account of the resurrection of the dead. And as soon as he said that, they started arguing back and forth one with another. And while they were arguing, the guard brought Paul back out. Slipped out of that one. But a group of 40 Jewish men, according to the book of Acts, got together and took a vow that they wouldn't eat or drink anything until they killed Paul the apostle. Well, Paul's nephew overheard these guys talking that they were going to kill Paul. He went and told Paul, and Paul says, go tell the captain of the guard. He told the captain of the guard, about 3 a.m, they took Paul, 200 men, to Caesarea by night on the coast. So he escaped and went to Caesarea, stood before Felix, the governor. Felix looked at him, and Paul went through the whole spiel about what had happened. And then Felix procrastinated and said, oh, we'll have another hearing someday. It ended up that Paul spent 2 whole years in Caesarea. Probably wondering, when am I going to go to Rome? Because in Jerusalem, before he went to Caesarea, an angel of the Lord spoke to Paul and said, Paul, be of good cheer. As you have testified before the Jews of me in Jerusalem, so shall you also go to Rome. But he's in Caesarea. I think, when is this thing going to get over with? God told me I was going to go to Rome. I want to get the show on the road. So he's there in Caesarea. Another governor, Festus, comes in and has another trial for Paul, and Festus, trying to show the Jews a favor, says, are you willing, Paul the Apostle, to go to Jerusalem and stand trial for these things? And he goes, oh, I'm sick of this jockeying around. I appeal to Caesar. Which meant that he would go to Rome. Because he was a Roman citizen, he could take his case to a higher court. He says, forget this stuff. I appeal to Caesar. And they said, you appeal to Caesar? To Caesar you will go. They put Paul in a boat and they shipped him to Rome as a prisoner. Now, he didn't want to go that way. He figured it was just going to be one of his journeys. But God sent him as a prisoner to Rome. That's how Paul the Apostle got to Rome. That's how the gospel really started flourishing in Rome, as the gospel went westward through Paul the Apostle. But he got to Rome sort of at the expense of the government. He didn't have to pay his own way that way. Again, he made plans, but his plans changed. And he didn't get all upset. He saw it as a way to preach the gospel. And we would do well if we would remember when God throws little roadblocks in our way to stop and evaluate and say, God, are you speaking to me? Do you want me to do something here? And just go with the flow. Don't go against it. Don't get all upset. Just go with the flow. I was leading a tour to Israel 7 years ago. My buddy and I got trapped in London. The rest of the tour group went over early. We had to spend 2 days in London, and I was so upset. Because we had all of the people's luggage on the tour. They were also very upset. Imagine being without a toothbrush for 2 days. Or a change of clothes. And we had to go to another airport and take some weird little plane that no one ever heard of from England to Israel. But that delay opened up so many doors for evangelism. We got to find so many Israelis and share the gospel with them on the plane. And we've had contact with them since. Got to visit them and share the gospel. We met people from Europe who accepted the Lord on that flight. Just go with the flow. When you're driving on the freeway and you have a flat tire, say, okay, God, maybe you want me to witness to the gas station attendant, the guy who's going to fix my tire. And just begin to pray right there and say, God, is this for the furtherance of the gospel, like Paul the Apostle saw? All of those change plans come up in his life for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, he talks about in verse 24 and 25, going to Spain. You see, Rome was not his destination. Spain ultimately was. Because Paul's intention was to go from one end of the Roman Empire to the other. Spain was considered the end of the known world at that time. And that was the end of the Roman Empire. So Paul wanted to go all the way to Spain. New territory. You know, if Paul the Apostle knew that there was an America, he'd probably try to get here too. He just had that attitude within him. He wanted to get the gospel internationally to the world. To the uttermost parts of the earth. So Paul was on his way trying to get to Spain. Now, we don't know if he went to Spain. There's no record that Paul ever went there. But I think it's possible that he did, because in verse 19 he speaks about this place, Illyricum, that he preached the gospel there. But there's no record of it anywhere in any of the book, in the book of Acts or any of the writings. We just know because he mentions it. So it could be possible that Paul the Apostle went and preached in Spain. And there are records, secular history records, that show that Paul went not only to Spain, but to Great Britain. So he says in verse 26, "For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contributions for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors, for if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things." Now what this was is that Paul took an offering from the Gentile churches in Macedonia, collected all of the money to send down to Jerusalem to the Christians who were in poverty there. In fact, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul makes reference to what he's talking about in Romans. First Corinthians 16, verse 1. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up, as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whoever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gifts to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, then they will go with me." Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete the grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others." And he goes on all the way to verse 15, actually to the end of the chapter, speaking about giving to the poverty that existed among the church in Jerusalem. Now, Paul expressed before that he wanted to take this gift by his own hands and deliver it to the saints in Jerusalem. Why do you suppose Paul the Apostle, in all of his busy itinerary, would want to take a gift himself all the way from Macedonia down to the sea into Jerusalem? Because Paul was the one who wasted the church in Jerusalem. He was the one more than anyone else that persecuted the church at Jerusalem and killed many of them, putting them into prison for the sake of the gospel. He himself wanted to go to them personally, giving them that gift. That was his desire all along, to minister to them. Now, Paul was on his way to Jerusalem. He speaks about it in this chapter, but you know, in Paul's mind, he was probably wondering, what's going to happen when I get to Jerusalem? Because remember in the book of Acts, all the way along as he was going to Jerusalem, prophecies came forth saying that chains and imprisonments await you if you go to Jerusalem. And at one point, Agabus the prophet put a belt around him and he says, the man who owns this belt will be bound in Jerusalem. And it was Paul's belt. And people were saying, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't get killed. And Paul says, what are you trying to break my heart? I don't care if I go to Jerusalem and get beaten. I'm ready to give my life for the gospel. He was on his way to Jerusalem now to share and to give the gift of love unto the people. Now this word here in verse 26, contribution, is the word in Greek koinonia, where we get our word fellowship, which means all things in common. And the word koinonia is a difficult word to translate. All things in common. It expresses everything that Christians can share together. It's used of having koinonia with Jesus Christ as believers, fellowship. It's used as having koinonia one with another, of having koinonia by taking the Lord's Supper, communion, like we had tonight. It's also spoken of as material possessions. You see, fellowship is more than a handshake, a hug, or a pat on the back. Oh, I fellowshiped. I said, hi, how are you doing? God bless you. Fellowship is giving of yourself to another person. Getting involved in people's lives. The whole purpose of the small group kinships is to promote koinonia. To get involved intimately in people's lives so that we have the opportunity to give spiritually, emotionally, and materially to the people who have need. The body should be caring one for another. So Paul says, your contribution, your fellowship, your koinonia. Verse 27, it pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. You see, Paul says that it was a free will offering. And that's the only way to give, to someone else or unto the Lord. For Paul the Apostle says, as everyone purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, for God loves a cheerful giver, literally a hilarious giver. God loves someone who's going to give hilariously, not someone who's going to give and go, you know what, I could have bought with that. Well, I could have had a good dinner with that. Let's grudgingly keep it. Paul says, give liberally, hilariously, as unto the Lord. God loves a cheerful giver, and they were pleased to do it. And that's really the only way to give. It says that they were their debtors, for if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. He says that to give was their obligation. It was their, the Jews, or the Gentiles were debtors or obligated to give to the Jews. That's the way Paul saw it, because the Jews had laid the foundation, so to speak, of the early church. The Jews were first Christians. It started from Jerusalem, and the gospel went forth from Jerusalem to the world like a lighthouse. So Paul says, look, Jerusalem has been a lighthouse to you. The gospel came from there. They've ministered to you in spiritual things. You can minister to them in physical things. Sort of what Paul says in Galatians, that communicate to those who are above you, who teach you, and so forth, in all things. For you must not muzzle the ox that treads the corn. In other words, the workman is worthy of his hire. What's interesting about verse 27 and the rest is that this is sort of foreign missions in reverse. Because instead of the home church supporting the foreign church, it's the foreign church supporting the home church. All getting together and working for the needs of one another. Now, I had hoped to go through the rest of the chapter tonight. I think we're not going to make it. There's too much there. So let's end with a word of prayer, and we'll pick it up next week. Father, we are thankful that you have given us so much. And Father, as we see the zeal, the fortitude, the intensity that Paul the Apostle served you with, Lord, may we have a portion of that. To see that the gospel gets out, to have a vision of the whole world, this whole globe, in our generation that doesn't know Christ. Father, we pray that we can never be found giving to you out of a hardened heart, but only if it's a heart of joy and hilarious giving. Thank you, Lord, for the time that we could spend tonight communing with you, having fellowship with you and with one another, praying for the sick, praying for the needs of the